Turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Believe it or not, we're still on the introduction to this book in the Bible. I thought we could go on further from where we left off last week. And the Lord did not give me peace that it's time to go forward. So I need to go back to the first chapter. You missed some important things. So we're in the first chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we want to look at a key verse, another great verse in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. And we'll spend most of our time, all our time, talking about the last half of this verse. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful, for whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, here we have a phrase that really is a summary of what is Christianity and what is the Christian life. And he has it right in this phrase, that we were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, the Bible tells us, now as you think of this word fellowship, I think we need to give a definition of the word fellowship. Really, the word fellowship is the word common. Common. But how do you apply it to this? How do you apply it to this theological setting? I'm going to make it real simple. Fellowship means to be walking on the same ground as a holy God. To be walking on the same ground as a holy God. Now, we could probably talk about some important things about this. The Bible tells us before a person is born again, they don't have fellowship with God. The Bible says that man and God are enemies. They're at enmity one with another because of sin. And so we have a wall between God and man. If you turn with me to Romans 5, we see this very sad but true statement. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die." A very simple truth. Rarely, once in a while, someone would give their life to save someone else's life. It'd be very unlikely for someone to give their life for a bad person. But some people might dare give their life to save a good person, so to speak. But the Bible tells us this. Verse 8, "But God commendeth and proved his love towards us, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." You know who a sinner is? A sinner is a person who has deliberately, knowingly, purposely gone against God. That's a sinner. A sinner isn't someone who makes mistakes. You know, any of you parents can remember, that occasion where you said to your child, don't. They heard what you said. They knew what you said. They knew what you meant. And they did the opposite. Yeah, that's sin. Knowingly, willfully, purposely going against God. And every one of us are sinners. And some very vile sinners. And the Bible tells us that God loved us, proved his love, that Christ died for sinners. The Bible puts it a different way. Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Sounds pretty deliberate, doesn't it? Willful. We've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. You know, that really gives us insight into what is the sinful nature. The sinful nature of man is that nature that willfully, knowingly wants to go their own way, go against God's way. They cannot stand God's way. They're rebellion against God's way. They purposely go against what's right. And they like it. That's sin. And we're all sinners. And the Bible says that's who Jesus died for. But verse 9, it says, "Be much more than be now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." And we, you know, there's so much to say about what's here. But here we say that enemies reconciled to God. That's what Jesus did on the cross. Made it possible. Now, you know, the Bible puts it so many different ways. The status of man before God. That state of enmity. That state of being going in two different directions. The Bible, let me read you Isaiah 59. It says this, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." That's what's called enmity with God. Now, our subject today is fellowship. Now, I want to preclude this by this thought. So we have a holy God. Man is separated from that holy God. Most religion is based on some man-made formula of man doing some kind of good to reach up to a holy God. That's all false. It's all false. No work can bring you up to fellowship with the Holy God. And God knows that. And that's why God had to send His Son from heaven down to the sinful earth to pay for the sins of wicked men. That wicked men, through Jesus Christ, could be lifted up to walk on holy ground with God. Now, a lot of false religion today is saying, take that holy God and make him like sinful men. And in the name of religion, you can walk with God will walk with you as a wicked sinner. That's what a lot of false Christianity is doing. They have drinking and partying and rock music and wicked life, and they say that they're having fellowship with God. No. That's not fellowship. Fellowship is man being lifted up to the same ground that God walks on. Holy ground. That's what fellowship is. Walking on the same ground a holy God walks on. It's because of Christ that all our sins can be forgiven. And through the Holy Spirit, we can walk on holy ground with a holy God. Now, that's a very important definition. And if you go to 1 John, you'll see this is true. Back to 1 John. Fellowship is walking on the same ground as a holy God. Through Jesus' death, burial and resurrection, our sins can be forgiven, and we can have new life in Jesus Christ, and we can walk on the same ground as a holy God through Jesus. Now, look at what it says, 1 John. Verse 3, then that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So here's the Apostle John saying, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. We're walking on holy ground with the Holy God. He says, I'm writing this epistle so that you, who claim to be believers, you too will have fellowship with us, who are walking on holy ground with a holy God and His holy Son, Jesus Christ. It says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Oh, that's a good one. You know where the Bible say? When you walk on holy ground and have with Jesus Christ and God the Father, oh boy, now that's joy. That's joy. That's real joy. Now, notice, it tells us this in a different way. Verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. you say, have fellowship with God, but you're walking in darkness? That's a lie. You're deceiving yourself. It's a lie. Go to the tavern and say we're walking with God? No! A holy God isn't there drinking beer. The Bible says if we walk in darkness and say we have fellowship with a holy God and walking on the same ground as a holy God, the Bible says we're lying to our... It's a lie. It's a lie. But, he says, but if we walk in light, as he is in light, you see, God's light, perfect light, and we're walking on God's ground, guess what? Now we're having fellowship with God. God is light, we're walking in darkness, we're not walking in fellowship with God. We're not walking on the same ground. We're walking on different ground. And a lot of people are trying to make God walk in the mud with them. That's not Christianity. That's not the Bible. That's everything against the Bible. That's against the purpose that Jesus Christ came down from heaven. And so, but notice, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, define what fellowship one with another. Now, true Christian fellowship is with God the Father, God the Son, on holy ground, and with other Christians who are walking on the same ground. That's right. You know what? You can't have Christian fellowship with a brother or sister in Christ who are walking in darkness. You aren't walking on the same ground. They're walking in the world. They're walking in the flesh. They're walking to fulfill the lusts of their flesh. You can't have fellowship with them. You might have so to speak, fellowship with him, but you aren't having any spiritual fellowship with him. Because what is the word fellowship? The word is common. The same ground. It's very important. Oh, hey, come on, let's have a fellowship. Or, you know, well, we're going to have some nice gossip over here. We're going to have roast the preacher. We're going to have great Christian fellowship. Is that fellowship? No, it's godless fellowship. You're fellowshipping together down here in the world and in the flesh. But it isn't fellowship because you're not walking on the same ground as God. And the two aren't, the two are walking on different ground. There is no fellowship between the two. This is a Bible definition of fellowship. You say, I'm going to go to this compromising meeting and have fellowship. You aren't going to have fellowship, a Bible fellowship. You're going to meet on darkness road. That's the common road. But it's not Christian fellowship. It's very important to have the right definition of what fellowship is. Now, so, I was thinking about when the Bible says this wonderful thing that we have been called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. What's it saying? God gives the invitation. God's given the invitation. Given the invitation. Whosoever will, let him come. Come where? Have your sins forgiven. Get a new life. Have the Holy Spirit. And have fellowship. walking on the same ground as Jesus. That's fellowship. What a miracle. You know what I mean? You understand what a miracle it is? That God would let us walk with Him? God would let us walk on His ground? That's heaven. It's heavenly. Huh. Wow. Now, just in case you didn't get it yet, fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Walking on the same ground as the Lord Jesus. Well, you know, I was thinking years ago they used to have apprenticeships. And a young man would sign an agreement to be an apprentice. And so if he was going to apprentice as a baker, he would go to a man who had a baker shop, and guess what he would do? He would spend all his time right alongside that baker, wouldn't he? He'd be learning everything from that baker. You know, the baker is getting the recipes, he's right there looking. The baker is getting the ingredients, he's right there getting ingredients. And he's putting the stuff in the mixer, you know, and he's right there. He's putting the stuff in the mixer. He's right there when he puts it into the pans. He's right there. He's going to put it in the ovens. He's right there, right with them, you know, they decide when it's time to take them out. And whatever you do after, you know, and all the cleanup and everything and the ordering and the selling and all of that, he's right there with the baker. Common ground. Might be something else. Might be another kind of apprenticeship that, I mean, this person has. And boy, what is it? They're walking on the same ground. You know what I mean? Carpenter. You're there. You know, kids nowadays are really impatient. They want to learn something in 2 minutes and then get a $100 check. But you know, I had an apprenticeship. It was called Gopher. And my dad is a carpenter, and he'd be doing something, and he says, "You go for this." And I'd go for that. And I wasn't like a lot of kids. My dad told me, when you go for something, you run. You don't walk. You're not the big shot. The boss is the big shot. It's his time that's valuable, not yours. And you're supposed to save him time and effort. And so the job goes by running. You go run to wherever you're supposed to go, and you run back with whatever you found, because the boss is the important person. That's my job, a gopher. You know? Go for this, go for that. Hold this, hold that. Do this, do that. You know? That's my apprenticeship. A lot of times it wasn't. Now, this is how we're going to install the door. You know? You do this, and you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and then you do this. No, it was, hold this. Hand me my hammer. And guess what? I learned by watching. You know, when we came to build this building, I think I was crazy. And we were going to build the whole thing ourselves. Including laying the foundation, laying the block, everything. Half the stuff I never did before. More than half the stuff. I never did it before. I watched my dad do it. I held the hammer. I handed him the level. I never did it before. I was the gopher. And so we come to this building. He says, now, how did that go? I'd call up my dad, you know. Or I'd say, I remember how you did that. And many times, the first time ever done, I ever did it was right here. Still standing. Still standing. So anybody past the second window, you know, the first window there, you're in trouble. That was the first building. If it falls down, you know why. But it hasn't even cracked yet. Apprentice, you know what? You're always there, right there. You know, kids nowadays, they don't want to stand around doing nothing while they're waiting for you to give them the next order. But that's how you learn. That's how Pastor Philip knows so much. Because he'd be standing there right by me. He wouldn't be bugging me at, oh, come on, let's get going. Let's do something worthwhile. No, he'd just wait. And then pretty soon I'd tell him to do something. But he was patient. He listened. He watched. Now he knows more than I do. But, you see, that's common ground. That's what fellowship is. You're walking on the same ground. That's a good definition. What is fellowship? Are you walking on the same ground as Jesus? Are you walking in the world and you expect Jesus to come down with you? Huh? You got a Christian club and you're going to have gossip session and you're going to call it fellowship? That's blasphemy. That's not fellowship. Fellowship is walking on holy ground with Jesus. Now, so think about this wonderful thing. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Actually, Ephesians 3, verse 17. What a great phrase here. Ephesians 3, 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Isn't that amazing? Jesus Christ and you walking together. John chapter 14. This is a tremendous phrase. John chapter 14. While we're there, I've got to read a couple great verses because these are great verses on the Father and the Son being one. John chapter 14, verse 10, Jesus says, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now, of course, people who aren't believers can't comprehend the Trinity. They can't comprehend that there's a distinction between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but they're one. They're one. They're never separated because they're one being. They try to make them three beings and three distinct beings, but it's one being, but three persons. And Jesus says, I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. That's called the interpenetration of the Father and Son. But now think of this. Verse 20. Verse 19, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. Isn't that amazing? The oneness we have with Jesus. I mean, if you really think about that, that's about as big as you can get. That we are in the Son and the Son is in us. That's just incomprehensible. We have here just the basic principle of what is fellowship. Walking the same ground as a holy God. Fellowship with a holy God. Wow. Now, we have some insight into this. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, notice. It says, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you that ye may have fellowship with us. So this book, 1 John, has all these great truths. Now if you're a new Christian, you need to read 1 John. Because it tells you the basic principles of having fellowship with the Holy God. Chapter 1. Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Chapter 2. Love not the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Chapter 2. You have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Chapter 3. He that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Etc., etc. It gives us all these great truths of that are essential to walking the same ground as God. Saying, if we aren't obeying His commandments, we aren't walking on the same ground as Him. Don't kid yourself. Disobedient believers are not walking in fellowship with God. Believers who love the world are not walking in fellowship with God. That young lady's got that sensual outfit on. She's not walking with God. Love not the world. False doctrine. Jesus is the Word. You're walking in false doctrine, you're not having fellowship with God. You're not walking on His ground. I mean, this is making it black and white. People want to make it gray. Right? The Bible wants to make it black and white. And you know, people don't like that today because everybody wants to have the mushy-gushy, feeling from the rock music and to make people think Christianity is a feeling rather than a reality. But so he gives us the basics of fellowship with the Holy God. And then he tells us what we know. Chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And we do sin. But if we're going to walk with the Holy God, what do we have to do? Confess our sin. 1 John 1, 9. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what confess means? It means, it's the word homologeo. It means to say the same thing as. It means to say the same thing about sin that God says about it. To look at sin and hate it the same way God hates it. It's not saying, well, Lord, I did this, but it really wasn't so bad. Please forgive me. Does that sound like saying the same thing as God? What do you think? I don't think so. I think it's saying what you want to say about it, not saying what God says about it. But he says, yeah, we sin. And when we sin, that breaks fellowship with God. In order to restore that fellowship, we must confess our sin. And we confess our sin. God in his mercy and justice, because Jesus' blood was shed for our sin, can forgive us. You know, God just doesn't forgive sin. You know that? Oh, he'll just forgive you. No, God can't just forgive sin. He had to send his son, and his son had to shed his blood, and his blood had to be shed. And because his blood was shed, God can forgive us, but he can only forgive us because of Jesus. You try to go to get forgiveness from God from some other way, you won't get forgiveness. Because there's no other provision for man's sin but the blood of Jesus. But you know, isn't it great that we can forgive, we can confess our sins. And when we confess our sins, and we obviously that means we're turning from them, we can be brought from walking in darkness to back to walking in light on the same ground as Jesus. What a miracle, isn't it? The miracle of forgiveness. Miracle of forgiveness. And then what does he say? And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Psalmist David said in Psalm 51, O Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You know, there's nothing like having our sins forgiven as a Christian, repenting and turning and getting right with God. Joy. And that is just a great picture. The most precious thing in all the world, that mankind can walk on and have spiritual fellowship with a holy God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, remember, we said this is an introduction to 1 Corinthians. So how does that relate? We're called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We already got some insight into it, don't we? We already got some insight into it. Jesus Christ, our Lord. What's it immediately saying? See, he's not the Lord. Who is? If we're not obeying him, who's the Lord? Is Jesus the Lord? If we're not obeying him, is he? No! And of course, the full first chapter is full of the phrase what? Lord. Lord. Just go through first chapter and circle all the Lords. Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, 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 Lord. You know what? He's introducing the book to the people who are not submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. They're walking in the flesh. They're doing it their way. And what's he saying? Hey, you want to have fellowship with God? Jesus needs to be Lord. Now, let's put it in context here. What is he saying? Well, we discussed last week, you can't be walking in the wisdom of men and have fellowship with God. You can't be thinking like lost men and be walking with the holy God. the wisdom of man. By wisdom, God, man does not know God. How can we walk with God if our minds are full of worldly wisdom, secular thinking, atheistic insights, skeptical thoughts? But turn to chapter 3. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." Now, you know what that word carnal means? Ever go to a carnival? However, has everybody heard of a word carnival? Okay. You know what carnival means? Carnal means fleshly. Lustful. That's what carnivals are, aren't they? All about earthly carnal lusts. That's what it's advertising. I'm sure you go there to see girls in nice long dresses dressed modestly. No. But what's he saying? Verse 3, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" He says, if you're carnal, you're walking in the flesh. You love the things of the flesh. Immodest apparel, worldly entertainment. You're acting like fleshly people, divisive, carnal, critical, complainers. He says, guess what? You aren't having fellowship with God. That's what he's saying. Chapter 1, what's the title of the book? You've been called into fellowship with Jesus Christ. God has called us to out of the world and the flesh, and he's called us to walking on holy ground. Now, the whole book is all about what needs to be taken care of in order to have fellowship with God. And every chapter you're going to find out, what do they have to take care of if they're going to have fellowship with a holy God? Remember, in John it says, don't deceive yourselves. If you walk in darkness, you don't have fellowship with God. And sin is always deceptive, and the devil's always deceptive. So he had to write this book to say, wait a minute, you think you're having fellowship with God, but no. In order to have fellowship with God, you have to get these things corrected. You have to see them as sin. And instead of walking down here and say, hey, God, come down here and walk in the mud with me, we get those sins right with God and we walk on his ground. That's fellowship. And so, we have, throughout the book, we have all of these issues. Chapter 4, we have pride. Verse 7, it says, "Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou had not received it?" Because everything you have, God gave it to you. There's no room for pride. And I'm not trying to preach the whole book, but chapter 6. Notice, just illustration, it says here, First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid." Verse 18, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit." What is he saying? Your body is not for fornication, but it's for the Lord. Wow. He's saying, okay, going to have fellowship with the Holy God? That's what you're called on, to fellowship with the Holy God. Here's a problem. Fornication. That's down here. God's up here. If you don't walk with God, can't be walking in the lust of the flesh. Isn't it sad? Take a CD in a typical Christian bookstore. Produced by a lady, claims to be a Christian. What kind of look do they have? I call it the askance look. They're saying, you can have fellowship with God and be sensual too. That's what they're saying, isn't it? Exactly. You see the lie? And the Lord says, no. You've been called to fellowship with the Holy God. You've been called to a fellowship with the Holy God. And there are so many issues here in this book. And we're talking, we could... You know, without going much further, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about all your gifts that God has given you. You're a Christian, God's given you gifts. And what does he say? He said, you know what? Those gifts aren't for you. Those gifts are for God. Those gifts are for God. They're for the furtherance of His kingdom. And if you're using them for yourself, it's selfishness. And selfishness does not have fellowship with the Holy God. You know, you just take a moment. Now you can, Mrs. Henney, you can read 1 Corinthians again. Okay? You can read the whole book again, and now you see this other theme. What is the theme? Fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. Walking the same. We're going to walk the same ground. All these issues need to be dealt with. That's what the book's about. It's not about filling your brain with intellectual, spiritual answers. It's not saying, oh, I know what this book is about. Give me a doctrinal test. It's not what it's about. It's about fellowship with the Holy God. Knowing the answers doesn't make you have fellowship with the Holy God. It can help. But I'm afraid many times the answers that we know aren't even in the context. And they just fill our brain with intellectual pride. And it's totally out of context of what God wants us to know these things for. And so he prefaces the book, this great book. And he go every chapter. You know, our time is up. Probably we should do that because I don't know how many people are going to do it. We go every chapter in the book. And we can say how it's related to this theme principle. We've been called to fellowship with Jesus Christ. What a huge privilege. And all these things are things that are evidences that we aren't in fellowship with God, or they need to be corrected in order to have fellowship with the Holy God. And as I think of it, I says, you know what it deals with? It deals with our, how easily we deceive ourselves and how easily we make Christianity a feeling rather than based on the facts of the revelation that God has given in His Word, and think in concrete terms, and think in biblical terms, and think of the terms that God has laid out. That's what He's doing, giving us the Bible. And so you can go, maybe you can go take a list and get 15 chapters and say, okay, what's the issue here? What's the issue? What's the problem that's keeping me from having fellowship walking on the same ground as a holy God? There's quite a bit there. There's quite a bit there. But you know, I was going to say, what is Christianity? Christianity is walking on the same ground as God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. Because we've accepted Jesus Christ, we're living in obedience to Him, in the power of the Spirit, and we have fellowship with the Holy God. And you know, you want to know who you can have real Christian fellowship with? Just kneel at the cross. Surrender to Jesus Christ. And then look around. That's people you haven't fellowship with. That's spiritual fellowship. And hopefully, by the grace of God, we have today got a sense of what this word fellowship really means. And what Christianity really is. And I want you as a young, you that are here, young people, I want you to think about this. Are you walking on holy ground? Are you walking on holy ground? You know, you're fulfilling what the Bible says it means to walk on holy ground. That's what Christianity is. Walking on holy ground. Walking with Jesus. It's a wonderful thing. To walk with Jesus. This is a disturbing question. But dear Christian, when's the last time you took time to confess your sins? When's the last time that you start thinking biblically and you start thinking, you know, this is not right and this is not right and this is not right. And I can't have fellowship with God until I confess them. I can't have fellowship. I can, you know, that's why Christian rock is so great, because you can pretend you're having fellowship with God when you aren't. You get all this. Hoopla. So important. And we need to be challenged. I need to be challenged. All day long, have short accounts with God. All day long, being thinking about my fellowship with God. Did I break my fellowship with God by that comment I made? Did I break fellowship with God by what I looked at just 1 second? Did I break fellowship with God? Did I break fellowship with God when my mom said, go do this, and I did it my way, or I didn't do it at all? You know what? Guess what? Young person, you just broke fellowship with God. And it won't be restored until you confess it and turn from it. And you may need to go back to your parent and said, Mom or Dad, I sinned. Please forgive me. Because it's real. Either you're walking on God's ground or you aren't. And that's the picture that God is painting to us right now of the word fellowship. And you know what? And I've said this, I'm repeating it. Let me guarantee you, we live in a day in which the Christian message is, the false Christian message portrayed by the mega church and false Christianity is you can live for the world and walk with God. And I will say, on 1,000 Bibles, it's a lie. Because fellowship is walking on the same ground as a holy God. That's fellowship. Now, in order to get there, you got to be saved. In order to get there, you got to get saved. You have to accept God's provision for your sin. Can you imagine people standing before God and they say, hey, my religion should get me into heaven. And God will say, wait a minute. I sent my son from heaven to die on the cross for your sin. The only means possible that sinful men could have their perfect penalty of their sin paid. My son had to take on human flesh to be your perfect substitute. You think you can come into heaven without him? No way. We have to come through his son. And when we come through his son, we can have the miracle. All I can say, a miracle. It's more than a miracle. I mean, it is overwhelming. The fact that we can have fellowship with God. I mean, you understand how unbelievable that is? That we can have fellowship with God? We can walk with God? That His Spirit lives in our heart. We have a relationship with Him. Can you understand how great that is? It's unbelievable. I hate to put it personal, but I remember when I got saved. There, walking to my classes at university, sometimes I just go like this. Pinch myself. I says, is this real or is this a dream? This is so great. That's so wonderful. I wonder, is this really happening or is this just a dream I'm having? I had to just pinch myself to make sure I was alive, you know? And Jesus said, he that hath the Son hath life. Isn't that great? He that hath the Son hath life. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, what a wonderful thing. We are so unworthy of God's mercy and love, isn't it? That we can have fellowship. Yeah, he's a holy God, but he also is a loving God. Isn't it amazing? We can have fellowship with that God. Let's pray, Lord. Oh, Lord, we marvel at your grace, your mercy in sending the Lord Jesus. Oh, God, what a wonderful thing that our sins can be forgiven because of your Son dying on Calvary's cross and you placing our sin, you making him sin for us. Now, Lord, oh, the very heartbeat of our life should be that we have fellowship with you. Oh, God, that should be the very heartbeat of every one of us. Forgive us, Lord, for whatever that comes into our life that robs us of that understanding and of that desire and of that insight. Oh, God, the greatest thing to have fellowship with you. And Lord, so work in our hearts. Oh, work in our hearts. You're here today and you say, Pastor, you know, I'm not saved. I don't have fellowship with the Holy God. This is almost too good to be true. But I'd like to be saved. I'd like to know it. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to be saved. God's working in my heart. Anyone here, just lift up your hand. I could pray for you. Maybe you're here and you're a Christian and you've been deceived by your own self and by the false prophets of the day, thinking that, you know, you can live a carnal life, you can live worldly, fleshly, lustly, you can whatever, be disobedient to your parents, and that's okay. That you can somehow still pray to God, you can still expect God to bless you. No. Fellowship is walking on the same ground as God. And you've really gotten away from God, and you say, you know what? I haven't been having fellowship with God. And today, God is speaking to my heart about coming back. Turning from my sin, confessing my sin between you and God, and getting back on God's ground. Obedient, submitted, filled with the Spirit. And say, God spoke in my heart today. Today is the day of returning back to fellowship with the Lord. You say, Pastor, pray for me. I realize this is a big decision. Would you pray for me? This is very important. Anyone here today, just slip up your hand. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. Amen. Okay. Perhaps you're here today and you say, you know, I'm a Christian and God spoke in my heart about the fact that I've not been careful about confessing my sin, having short accounts in my life, and I've just kind of made this thing of fellowship kind of a blur when the Bible makes it black and white, and say, you know, I need to be more careful, more conscious of sin, of anything that breaks fellowship with God, whether it's a thought, or unkind word, whether it's a rebellious action. I need to be much more careful about maintaining fellowship with God and making sure I keep my sins confessed. And God has spoken to you about that today. Say, Pastor, pray with me. That's the decision that I need to make today. Anyone here? All right. Praise the Lord. Lord, now thank you for your word and for speaking to hearts, what you're trying to do in our lives, decisions that you have brought, how you opened the eyes of your people and made it clear, brought them to decision. And pray that this truth would be a help, a growing truth for God's people to grow and to stay close to you. And so, Lord, bless each heart, each decision. For your sake, I pray. Amen.